Our reading today comes from 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, 1 to 10. At the pages are 363 and large print 427. I'll read the first 10 verses. Pamela will read from there on. The dedication of the temple. As soon as Solomon finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. When all of the people of Israel saw the fire come down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed down with their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Then the king of all the people offered sacrifice before the Lord. King Solomon offered as a sacrifice 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king of all the people dedicated the house of God. The priests stood at their posts, the Levites also, with the instruments from music to the Lord that King David had made for giving thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. Whenever David offered praises by their ministry, opposite them on the priests sounded trumpets, and all Israel stood. And Solomon consecrated the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered the burnt offering and the fat of the peace offerings, because the bronze altar Solomon had made could not hold the burnt offerings and the grain offered as fat. At that time Solomon held the feast for 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great assembly from Lehabath to the brook of Egypt. And on the 8th day they held a solemn assembly, for they had kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. On the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away to their homes, joyful and glad of heart for the prosperity that the Lord had granted to David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people.
So we'll just read through to the end of the chapter. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, all that Solomon had planned to do in the house of the Lord and in his own house he successfully accomplished. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, "I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house, that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. And as for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked, doing according to all that I have commanded you, and keeping my statutes and my rules, then I will establish your royal throne, as I covenanted with David your father, saying, 'You shall not lack a man to rule in Israel.' But if you turn aside and forsake my statutes and my commandments that I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck you up from my land that I have given you, and this house that I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and I will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And at this house which was exalted, everyone passing by will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? Then they will say, because they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt and laid hold on other gods and worshipped them and served them. Therefore he has brought all this disaster on them. Amen.
Good morning, all.
Good morning.
I'm just checking if this one's still working because I haven't turned this one on yet.
Erica made a move.
In the area.
That's all right, we're right here.
As a way of hopefully building up our children and young families in the church. And we've decided to hold a kids' holiday club. And this idea came from Chris Battistusi from Scripture Union when he came down here a few months ago. He encouraged us to do this. So we're looking at 3 mornings in the October school holidays, and that's the 8th to the 10th of October. And the program will run from 9 till 12 on those 3 mornings and will involve a Bible story, crafts, music, games and morning tea. And the final morning we'll finish with a barbecue lunch and presentations to the children, and their families are welcome to that as well. So we're going to need a lot of helpers. So if you're interested in helping in any way, please come and see myself or Pam Young or Peter. And some of the areas of help that we will need are delivering leaflets, setting up the church hall in the backyard, welcomers, overall leaders, small group leaders and helpers, catering, people praying, and financial contributions as well. And also, in a few weeks' time, in the Messenger, about a child safe workshop to be held here on Sunday afternoon, the 14th of July, and that's at a cost of $10. And those who would like to work with children are encouraged to attend that. So if you're thinking of even helping in October, it would be a really good idea to come to that as well. And Betty needs to know by Friday the 5th of July for that. Thank you.
Yes, thanks Erica. And hopefully you've got a little bit of a taste of some of the things, particularly in the area of children and young families, something that's been simmering for a little while now something very much on the schedule. And if you want some more details on that, of course you can catch up to Erica or Pam, because Pam's actually created a really neat running sheet that goes with that preparation. The other thing that you'll notice in your newsletter, which is an addition, and I'm totally at ease if you want to do this, even as I'm speaking in a few moments. Our prayer gathering this afternoon, if you would like a particular situation or a particular person that you would like to be covered in prayer, or a particular point of giving thanks that you might like to submit into that forum, please feel free to just note it on the piece of paper there with your name, so as we can connect the dots, so to speak. That would be really good. And at the end of the celebration, if you'd like to just bring it out, put it on the front seat here, and we'll pick them up and we'll cover that. Of course, the ideal is that you write it out and then you bring it with you. That allows us as a people to gather, very specifically for this aspect of praying and spending that time in that particular place that the Lord has provided. And while I'm on little promotions, as we come to next Sunday will be our family celebration. We haven't had one for a while. We're trying to space them through the year. Then you're most welcome to be a part of that. And as is the nature of our family celebrations, we look forward to a high level of engagement and interaction and those types of things that allow us to appreciate something of our youth in the Lord. in some respects. So that's next Sunday. Following that, we'll start a focus over a number of weeks into areas that are challenging the Christian community in the 21st century. And I've had a couple of submissions of some areas of focus, and I'm quite prepared to take other submissions up until the middle of this week. Because as you can appreciate, I want to try and connect them and have some measure of continuity and obviously connect them into what does the Word say into these particular situations. So if you'd like to make a submission, there's a leaflet in the foyer that relates to that series that will commence on the 14th of July. And just a reminder on what Erica just mentioned in regards to that child safe situation, if you want to be a part of the kids ministry event, whatever form, whatever way, even if you're doing morning tea or whatever, that it's going to be really, really valuable to be a part of that training session. It's one of the things that's now required of all people having connection with children's ministry, but also into the area of aged care is now becoming an issue where people need to be well and truly aware of what is asked of them and certain spaces that have got some very, very clear guidelines. So just bring that to your attention. That'll be that training workshop in a couple of weeks. Okay? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, again, we just give you thanks that as a people, as we were reminded this morning, the beautiful opportunity that we have to worship. Your word says to wait upon you, appreciating that can take all variety of forms and shapes and expressions, and we're blessed this morning to be in a place where word and music and the emblems themselves, pictures, just being conscious of people around us and knowing that you're the God who is present as your people gather in a very specific way, and your Spirit is working a work in our midst this morning that we have never experienced before. We say thank you, Father. You've made this wonderful provision for us to know these situations where a work is done at a very deep level in our lives, a level that will eventually be lived out. It will take expression through who we are and what we do and how we respond and where we invest ourselves. So, Lord, we just give you thanks again for this time and this place in Jesus' name. Amen. The opportunity, as I've just prayed, to be in a space that has a particular purpose in the context of all of us having a 168-hour week, to actually carve out a measure of time and put it in particular locations. To in some respects, we draw aside is the term I think the Lord used with his disciples. In actual fact, when I that particular thought came to mind during the week, something else came to mind. I'm really enjoy when Christian leaders and if we're having church boards or whatever, they have a little spot for devotions. I don't know if you knew about that, but every now and then they have a devotional thought. They might have a scripture passage and a little prayer time just to acknowledge who they are and where they are and all that sort of stuff. And along the way, many of those devotions have sort of struck a chord with me. And sometimes you don't realise how deeply the chord goes until well down the track it comes up again. So this is one that was used, if my little responder's going to work. You can just put it up anyway, Clive, that next one. Come ye apart before ye come apart. Don't you like that one? I love that one. That was one of the earliest devotional spots that I had in a church leadership context. And it was based on a passage in the Gospel of Mark where Jesus encourages his disciples to draw aside because life can get really hectic, it can get quite demanding, and you start to sort of lose awareness of the context of where you are and what you're on, who you are and what you're on about. And so that particular one has stuck in my mind. and the value of perhaps just the shortest phrase allows us to connect into something that the Lord truly wants to do. And it's in that sort of line of thought that I come this morning to perhaps the shortest sermon title that I have ever used. See if this will take it back again. No, he's not responding. Half a moment. It's one of the shortest sermon titles. Oh, see, I just took control again. There we go. That I have ever used. And it's the term if. And, of course, you heard the term this morning in the context of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And I need to ask this morning, how many are familiar with this passage? How many people have heard it many, many times? It's one of those passages that I have heard on numerous occasions, and I love going to it because it is that reminder for God's people of this wonderful provision the Lord has made, this avenue the Lord has made for us to, in a sense, come into his presence. I'm a person who realises we can't get away from his presence, and the fact that his spirit is within us, I acknowledge his presence. But there's this beautiful sort of imagery of the Lord providing to say, hey, look, you just come to a space. It doesn't matter what it is. I just want you to be in a place where it's just a single focus you have, that you're conscious, well and truly aware of being, as it were, in the presence of God. And I hope that that's something you bring with you on a Sunday morning. The sense of, I'm not going to church. I'm going to a space where I have an opportunity to realise at a greater depth that I'm actually doing life in the presence of God. And in actual fact, that presence of God is immediate. It doesn't matter where I am, but this is one place where it is amplified. It's turned up. It's louder. Not much louder. You don't want it any louder. You'll throw your hearing aids out, won't it? Yeah, right. But the point being, this is a wonderful opportunity to hear and see and feel and experience loud and clear the reality of God. And that's why I appreciate coming to this particular passage. It also has a wonderful connection with my personal anticipation of revival. I have an anticipation. It's becoming intensified. Every time I have a birthday and I'm thinking, Lord, can it be soon so at least I'm aware of what's going on around me? You know? I want to see this happen. I want to see the Spirit of God. I want to see your hand move. And of course, behind that is this, I like shortcuts. You know, it takes a lot of hard work out of ministry. You know, there's certain things I can do in ministry. I can do my part. I can pursue my calling. I can take up everything the Lord puts on my plate. And by the way, I'm not interested in... Yes, I am. I'm interested... Shouldn't have finished that sentence. I'm interested in what's on your plate so long as you eat it. That's what my mum used to say to me, eat what's on your plate. So this is a spiritual sort of exhortation. People of God, the Lord's put stuff on your plate, get into it. Now, I've said that a couple of times, but I've got to keep urging that because time is short. You know, the Lord's going to come back real soon. Real soon. For some of you, real soon. Yeah, I'm glad we can laugh, isn't it? No, I don't know which one. I think that's the comment I heard. But the point being, that sense of urgency. I'm not playing church. I'm working out my relationship with Jesus, and it's got an intensity in it, and a reality in it, and an urgency in it that is on the increase, and I'm looking to say, Lord, how do I best diffuse that? How do I best put that out there so that, as Gail reminded us this morning, that in some way my life carries a testimony into the life of another person and they are drawn to who you are. They don't just come to believe what I believe, because that's probably not going to work. But if in some way the grace of God, the testimony of the grace of God by the power of the Spirit at work in my life can touch another life and see that life drawn into this beautiful sense of a relationship with God that's immediate and sustained. And so that's the bit of stirring that I carry with me. And I hope, I mean, you won't carry the same thing, but I hope there's a sort of a commonness there. There's a similar tune. I love the music this morning, so thanks our musicians and the visuals that came. It's lovely, isn't it? It's a wonderful place to be. And particularly as we're sort of embraced by what we're doing, what we're participating in. I probably need to move on further than the first slide, don't I? You know? But it is, I just hope that you have within you this anticipation of God at work in a greater level in your life than you've ever known before. So I got to this, I've seen that one before. Good, come ye apart before you come apart. That's the passage. And the theme is in there, it's in that second verse. See the start of verse 14, if my people. Now I realise as I got to that simple theme, if, I really should have gone to when and if. Because they go together. If you read that passage, there is actually a context that we need to be aware of. We don't just start, if my people will pray. There is this realization, as we read that first verse, that God's people have the amazing capacity to cool off. Did you know that? Isn't it nice and cozy in here this morning? Lovely, cozy? Everybody comfortable? Dozy? Can we turn the aircon on? That would be a better idea. That'll keep us... I can't remember the context, so I'll leave it. The when is this realization, this God recognition, this God knowledge of us, that we have this amazing capacity to seemingly take longer to warm up and quicker to cool down. Is that a fair thing to say about our spiritual journey? A little bit longer to fire up and a seemingly quicker capacity to cool down. But I think it's a reality that God sees. Well, certainly in the context of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. All right? So I'm going to launch into this bit. Okay. Number one point this morning. God answers prayer. Amen? Oh, good. I'm glad I had a chorus of amens there because that's a pretty important thing to agree on. I've had many conversations and many discussions with people who maybe are cool in their faith, saying God doesn't answer prayer. And of course, you've possibly already got a response ready, have you? Some people, we're so well equipped in why God doesn't answer prayer. Well, I'm coming straight up the front and saying, God answers prayer. Full stop, no questions. Would you be happy with that? Yeah, it brings God into the equation, I've discovered. Because otherwise it stays, the conversation stays in the context of the content of my head, which... on some days, it's vacant. That's a reality. My wife has pointed out to me, do you realise you're forgetting people's names again? I'm saying, thanks for the reminder. Sometimes I look at you and you're thinking to yourself, my, he's looking vague. Because he is. Every now and then, I forget your name. Unless, of course, I visited a lovely gentleman at Rest Haven just a few days ago. And they told me, as I went into the admin office, there's another Mr. Broadbent in this place. My Auntie Irene's gone in there, so it's easy to find Auntie Irene. You just ask for Irene Broadbent. And he said, oh, yeah, there's a Mr. Broadbent in Unit 52. Oh, that's the one outside, you know, not the one in the care units. So I went out and introduced myself. Say, good morning, sir. I understand you're Mr. Broadbent. Yeah, he says, my name's Peter Broadbent. Huh? He looked quite old, so it couldn't have been me. So I pulled out my card and gave it to him. We both thought that was tremendously hilarious. So it's very easy. Unit 52 is where I live. Anyway, we're back to this foundational aspect of God answering prayer. And the context of 2 Chronicles 7 is quite distinct. It is a context in which God answers in the most amazing fashion. It's like as if, and the passage that we read this morning, as Sandy started out at the beginning of that chapter, it says, Solomon ended his prayer. That's the start off. You remember that bit? I can, because I've read it a number of times in this week. But, you know, Solomon answered his prayer. Solomon finished his prayer. God answered his prayer. And it's like as if, to me, it's like as if, the way that God answered his prayer, it's like God saying out of heaven, Amen! Oh, sorry, that was pops a bit loud, was it? Sorry.
Amen.
It's always good to hear that, though, isn't it? You know, when Gail's leading worship, she finishes the prayer and I'm listening because she... That's just a beautiful prayer. And I realize, oh, goodness. Amen. I think that's my bit. So feel free to amen. If somebody sits next to you saying, oh, I think you're going charismatic, or you're not Pentecostal or something else. No, just amen. Because what I just heard, I agree with. Amen. All right? So Solomon, see the name thing? It happens in public. I feel so embarrassed. No, I'm not. Solomon has finished his prayer. And God says, Amen. I agree. I have heard what you have just prayed. And for those who are interested to know what Solomon just prayed that got the Amen from God, you can read chapter 6 as it literally, or a big chunk of it anyway. I thought I'd get really sort of detailed this week, that if you read it in the ESV, which is the version we use on a Sunday morning, it's 584 words. Just under two A4 pages. It'll take you 5 minutes to read it, and it'll probably take you about 7 or 8 minutes to pray it. So it's not a long prayer, but it's the content. It's what Solomon actually prayed. So if you want to know what it is, read chapter 6. And if you get to the end of the chapter and say, Amen, brace yourself, because this is what happens. Well, actually, that's a picture of the temple. Can you see that well enough? I don't know if my little red dot... Oh, it does! I've discovered technical people... yes, Leon... The screen, that brand new screen we've got, I point my red pointer at it, it doesn't register. So now I've got to point with my finger. But that's all right. See the little thing there? That's the altar. All right, this is a model of Solomon's temple, as it was nearly finished at the time of our reading. Nearly finished, few details to attend to, like the front door, put the lock on, whatever. But that's the altar in there, okay? And so that setup, that's going to be a significant part of this whole complex, this whole temple situation. It's going to be the place where there's a lot of interaction, because the old covenant was very, I suppose, it was centered towards the sacrifices of the whatever form it was, the sacrifice was. And it centered around that altar. Now, along the track, that altar will have underneath it a fire. It's just burning lowly. You know, it's not full force all the time. It's like, anybody got a gas hot water service? Yeah? You know what a pilot light does? Yeah. It just sits there going... Bzzz. You can go up to the unit and listen to it and you go, oh, bzzz. But you turn the water on, what happens? Whoosh! The neighbours go, there goes the broadband house again. That pilot light hasn't even been lit yet. See, the structure's just early in the piece. And Solomon prays his prayer, and God answers. What happens? Was anybody listening? Fire came from heaven, which usually means a meteorite has struck the earth. Well, in this case, nothing to do with meteorites. It was God saying amen. I agree. I align myself with what you've just prayed, Solomon. It's what I want to do. It is my will. It's perfectly time. Now, I don't have that sense of anticipation about my prayer times usually. Don't know about yours. But I'm suggesting there's no harm in installing it. When I pray, as we come into the New Testament situation, the context in which the Lord encourages us to pray, and particularly the Apostle Paul is encouraging people into that place. And as you pray not just believing, because we have believing as an academic experience. Far too academic. It's good to have knowledge, particularly if it's on fire. Do you like that? Knowledge about my relationship with Jesus that's on fire. And in this particular context, that's what I see that God is saying to his people. I don't just want this formal, this structured, this religious, detailed performance and presentation. I want you to know the fire of my presence. And he makes this statement in a fashion that is tangible. It is very much like the picture of Pentecost that we read in Acts chapter 2. Very similar picture. People are gathered. We understand the gathering at Pentecost has something like 100-150 people in this particular space, a portion of another temple that is built. In this occasion, they understand there may be tens of thousands of people in that space. If I just go back to in this space, in this space here and around here, there are thousands and thousands of people because they're all gathering, knowing if this is the dedication of this. Would anybody know how many people present at the dedication of this church building? Anybody know? I can look, Ken. I don't know if Ken would know. But it probably wasn't tens of thousands. But on this occasion, there are tens of thousands of people surrounding, and so there's that many people that visually see this phenomenon. This fire from heaven and strikes the altar to saying, this is the place that I have worked to work, and I'm now investing into this community of people, my people, and I want you to meet me here in this place. So it reminds me of this, not just a sense of anticipation, but a sense of apprehension when we gather. What might God do? What he's always done? No? Yes? I figure an encounter with God will change me. I'll never be the same again, as the song says. And this is what happened for these people. Exactly how many? Thousands? Tens of thousands? What's the impact on them? Immediately. Here's an illustration that may or may not work. I may be unable to get up again. I don't know, I need a camera so I can go up on the screen. But you get the drift? No, you didn't, did you, John? You didn't. Oh, you're a good man. But right, we read these things and we're in the wrong space in the sense of even the layout for our gathering. You know, this interaction that says we're actually looking, we're seeing what God's doing in other people's lives. And there are thousands. Now, I'm not saying to you all 10,000 or whatever, but we do know that particularly in that inner context, there are... Oh, I haven't even got my light off yet. In that inner context, that a greater percentage of people have taken this this position of bowing with their face to the ground. And sometimes we're hesitant to do that. And here's this outward expression that's evidencing the fact that God has just got my attention in the most powerful fashion, and I am humbled. Which is what happens for these people. And the fact that God is answering their prayer is something that makes a very, very deep impression. And I understand that when this particular sanctuary, chapel, place of worship was dedicated in 1939, most of us weren't even born. Some of us weren't even born. 1939. Must have been a busy time, December. December 28th. Do they realise Christmas Day was only 3 days before and New Year's Day was only 3 days after? And Margie's birthday was in between? Oh, no, sorry, Margie's birthday wasn't in there yet. Sorry. But this amazing season that the people of God go through at this particular point of time has truly been a deep and powerful experience for them. Now, there's all this build-up, and you think, now, where's Peter going to go now? Is the realization of just how concentrated and how intense and how widespread this celebration was. I don't know if you can remember numbers. How many sheep were sacrificed? 120,000? You know how they work that out? You count the legs and divide by four. That one is... yeah, right. So just picture it, if you can. That's about 1,000 sheep. I counted the legs and divided by four. So that's about 1,000 sheep. So 122,000, that's a lot of sheep. And you're thinking, now hang on, how does this... As you read through the script, you realise this is an event that's covering 21 days. And what's happening in that 21 days is pretty close to it. The entire population of that nation, all of those who would be come under the title of my people, had been through that temple, through that altar context, whether it was the one inside the building or the one in the courtyard. That place was working double time, overtime, from dawn till dusk, not before, not after. And in that time, the entire nation was touched, as it were, by the realization that they were in covenant with a God who answers prayer. And when he answers prayer, it impresses, it impacts the day-to-day journey of his people. Okay with that? Gone far enough that in that direction? Because this is where the realization comes. That as those lives are touched, and the people of God are impacted, after 3 weeks, Solomon says, time to go home. Well, many of them had already gone home. They weren't all in the one place when he said it's time to go home. He was simply declaring that this season of concentration, of celebration, of, as it were, the dedication of the temple, along with it lined itself with the Day of Atonement and then the Festival of Tabernacles. There was a number of seasons and celebrations that went together. Much like when, I believe, this place was dedicated, that you would have had Christmas Day, dedication of the chapel, New Year's Day, and a whole lot of things in a concentrated space. And so it was happening for these people. It's time to go home. And they were people... pretty well edified, I would imagine. They knew who they were and what they just heard and seen, encountered, and how the Lord had touched their lives. And we, in a common day terminology, might say they've had a mountaintop experience, a powerful touch of God on their lives, and they were now heading home. And as I mentioned before, And God knows this, and Solomon has engaged in this sort of process as well. He realizes, as much and as intense as an experience might be of God in one context, we have the capacity to cool, humanly. I mentioned before my interest in revivals and read quite extensively. I'm not claiming to be an expert or anything, but it's interesting to note the longest intense revival has been just over 4 years, sustained for 4 years. That's not very long. Why don't revivals last longer? That's the question I'm still working with. But the point being, that short season, seemingly we don't have the capacity to be, as it were, to sustain this intense working of God in our midst. Well, I'm not too sure. Perhaps it's the human thing. Perhaps it's God's timing of these events. But I'll discover that along the way. But I still look for and move towards an occasion where I sense the Spirit of God at work in my life and in our lives, in this city, in this nation, to see that move of the hand of God. The narrative this morning goes on, appreciating that as Solomon had sent the people away, we might pick up the next verse and say, well, that must have been the day after, but it's not. It's a number of months later, probably 5 or 6 months later, that Solomon has, as it were, a personal conversation with God. Solomon is in the night, resting, sleeping, alert, waiting, whatever, and he has this encounter. And God reminds him, I've heard your prayer. Prayer is an amazing sort of, what would you say? It is an experience. You pray for something, you see an answer to prayer, and then a little way along the track you discover that answered prayer there is actually still relevant. The prayer is still relevant. The prayer is still operational. It's not as if God's fixed that matter now. What's next? It's a matter of that it's all a part of a picture or of a story that's flowing out. And Solomon on this occasion is reminded that his prayer has been heard. It is active. And God has made a wonderful provision. Solomon, what I've set in place is an avenue. I've set in place a provision for my people that says, whenever you and I, as God's people, feel a cooling in our faith, whenever that might be, whenever the people of God in this nation start to just sort of back off the tempo, the Lord has made this wonderful provision. If you will. The invitation's there, the avenue is open, and the space is provided. I want you to step into it. I want you to be prepared to acknowledge, to put up your hand and say, I'm not where God wants me to be. The fire, the intensity of the fire has tapered. There's a coolness. And I don't want that. I want the fire burning. I want to be in that place where a healthy, sustainable intensity and an intensity that it does actually increase because of the closeness of my relationship with Jesus. And the Lord says, I've made provision. And so we have the if. if my people will make a move, humble themselves, if they will get to that space, clear that space in your life where we can have this interaction, have this conversation. And the Lord says he'll start or continue to kindle that fire, stir that fire, fuel that fire, so that his people can experience the full boundaries, the full capacities, the full design of our identity. If my people. So the invitation is extended to God's people this afternoon. Make a move. The space will be this chapel. Conversation. Wonderful place to share conversation with the one, in many ways, who set this place apart for that purpose. Let's stand, we'll pray together. And gracious Father, it is in acknowledging once again your goodness, as the people of old did on that very occasion in the context of that temple 3,000 years ago, a long time ago, a long way away, and yet totally relevant for now. You've made wonderful provision, Father, for us to meet you wherever, but this is one of those places of meeting that will have a richness, that will have a dimension, that will have a capacity, as it were, to see our hearts afire for you in the fullness of your grace. We present ourselves to that purpose, Father. Seek your blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen.